everyone. I'm Lauren MacIver.
And I'm Teresa Rocha.
And this is
Teen Mom Time.
We're here to fill you in on all the fight.
Why are you so white trash?
All the custody battles.
Corey's trying to take our kids from me.
All the romance drama.
Getting divorced, period.
And so much more.
Hi, hi. You're both high.
I'm just trying to be a good person and a good role adult.
This week's episode, we'll be discussing the latest with Farrah's boxing match, Macy possibly pregnant with baby number 4, plus, is Amber quitting Teen Mom OG? Teresa, how are you?
I'm okay. I have a little injury.
Yeah?
So I'm a little
down.
Okay, so...
Oh, this one. Continue. Please explain.
Okay, so I have been really dedicated to being more healthy.
Summer bods are made in the winter.
Thank you. And, you know, I was like... contemplating doing the keto diet because my coworkers are doing it and they are so skinny, but I don't think it's like a good long-term diet.
Yes.
So I've been going to the gym 3 to 4 times a week. I've been eating healthy, under 1400 calories a day according to my personal trainer. So I was running on the treadmill. I was doing an amazing job. I bought brand new shoes, like running shoes, because I'm really into this.
Yes.
And a day later, I can't walk.
Yeah.
And my leg is killing me, and I'm like, oh my god, I pulled a muscle in my calf. Then Lauren told me that I have shin splint.
Yes.
A shin splint.
Shin splints.
Yes.
So I was telling her on the way to our morning meeting at 8:45, and she was showing me where the pain is. I said, Teresa, that's shin splints. I used to run cross country in college, so I used to get that a lot. And we proceed to go into the morning meeting, and Teresa and I were still talking about it. So our boss, Gina, said, oh, like, what's going on? And Teresa, I'm sorry, I have to say this.
You can say it. It's
like,
really embarrassing.
Yeah, it's really, it was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. She said, oh, I have chin splints. And Gina, we were all looking at her. We're like, what? And she's like, is that not it? I was like, shin, Teresa.
Shin.
Your chin is not splitting on your leg. But
that
was just,
funny.
It was a daily LOL moment with Teresa.
I didn't have my coffee yet.
Yeah.
I didn't. Remember I was saying I didn't have my coffee?
Yeah. And was that the morning that like the commute was really bad?
Oh my God. I had the worst morning. Yeah. Okay. So I get on the train. The train ride is 20 minutes from my house to the Staten Island Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the train for an hour and a half because it kept stopping.
Oh my God.
And when it would go, it was so slow. Then I missed the ferry. I missed 3 ferries. So I didn't have time to get, I was already 45 minutes late to work. I had no time to get coffee. So it was the worst morning. I was very stressed out.
Yeah.
I still call it chin splints.
Chin splints.
So I have really no excuse.
Yeah.
But anyway, I Googled it and it's micro tears in your muscle and it takes 2 to 4 weeks to heal. And you're actually not supposed to work out on it because it can cause a bigger tear or it can cause a fracture.
Oh, wow.
So I am out of treadmill commission for now.
Yeah.
But I will be continuing. I'm not letting this stop me.
No, don't. And we will definitely keep you updated on Teresa's treadmill dilemma.
And my injury.
But yeah, if you guys have any fitness tips for us, let us know because we're really into it.
Is anyone doing keto? Tell us how it is.
Yeah.
Because I hear mixed reviews. Some people say it's good. Some people say no. I'm kind of doing the slow and steady wins the race thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely DM us any tips or tricks or whatever you guys have because we are interested. So let's get into the Teen Mom drama. Starting with Truth or Tale. Last week, we kind of gave a little update about Farrah. We discussed possibly going to Atlantic City. However, end of the week, a little news story broke that Farrah allegedly backed out. Teresa, is this true?
Radar Line exclusively broke that Farrah dropped out of the match.
Called it.
So I actually had a source come to me and tell me this. As you see in the Radar article, she was basically being a diva. She was demanding 30-something rooms.
Oh, wow.
6 airplane tickets. And I actually, you know, I wanted to double source this.
Of course.
So I called Deborah Danielson, her mother, who confirmed it. She was basically like, yes, my daughter is not doing it anymore. They did not hold up to their end of the bargain. They promised us X, Y, and Z, and they didn't deliver. She was like, I contacted Farrah, and I said, Farrah, like, what's my flight information? You know, where am I staying? And Farrah goes, she says to me, that Farrah goes, Mom, I don't even have a ticket. I'm the boxer. I don't even have anything.
Yeah, like, where is she going to sleep?
Yeah. So they kind of realized, you know, something's going on here that's not right. We published the story. I then got a phone call from Michael Abraham, who told me that he believes that this whole thing was a setup because, as Ryder also reported, Drita DiAvanzo, who everyone knows is Farrah's number one enemy.
Yeah.
They got into a huge fight during an appearance at Scores in Atlantic City. She was in talks to be the referee of the match. Could you imagine someone who told Farrah that she's going to open hand slap her in the face is going to referee the match?
Yeah, Hoops and Drita would have destroyed Farrah.
I can see a WWE thing going on where Drita just turns and beats up Farrah.
Oh, totally. Just to get attention. And I definitely agree with Michael.
Yeah. And
Michael could have gotten hurt.
And Michael was like, this is a setup. He was like, all she has to do is touch my daughter once.
Yeah.
So he told us that. He also said, you know, they don't know where the money is going to. They don't know, you know, because obviously this whole thing is for anti-bullying.
Yes.
You know, they just feel like this is not right. They're not holding up their end of the bargain. So on Friday, I actually called one of the PR reps for the match. Because, you know, I always like to get both sides.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he told us that while Farrah, you know, there have been some issues with Farrah. She never confirmed that she was dropping out. Her attorney never confirmed she was dropping out. So for their standpoint, she was still in it.
Interesting.
But as we saw over the weekend, that changed. They got a replacement. Farrah's no longer doing it. Farrah went off on them on social media.
Even Hoops, she went off on Farrah.
Flip-flop Farrah. Yeah. Is that what she said?
Yeah, that was actually really funny. I will give her credit for that.
Yeah.
But I feel as if the owners of the fight or whoever was in charge definitely owed Farrah some things. They should have handled a lot. If you're bringing a reality TV star to come here and help raise awareness, raise money, etc., for bullying, then you kind of owe her maybe three or four.
I mean, 30-something rooms is a little excessive. Do you even know 30 people, Farrah? Like, come on.
Exactly. Do you even have 30 friends?
We don't know what really went down. I mean, on their end, the PR reps, the promoters of this event, they could have been like, hey, like, we were going to give you everything you wanted. We don't know.
Yeah.
This could be Farrah just saying all of this to get out of fighting Hoops. We don't know the true story. All of this is just hearsay and allegations.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, she's not doing it anymore. I think it sucks because she's worked so hard. But at the same time, she had an amazing body out of it. So she really isn't losing. Her face is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
There's going to be no, you know, no more plastic surgery visits if she gets punched in the nose.
Exactly. If she gets punched in the boob, it won't deflate. So she is totally fine. She has her abs, but a little sad because now we're not going.
We're not going. Yeah. Lauren and I made the decision that we're not going to go just because it's a lot for us to travel. You know, we wanted to go and see Farrah, hang out with Deb, hang out with Michael, hang out with Javi. So, you know, we decided not to go. But we wish Javi all the best. He confirmed to me that he will still be there. So,
yeah. So definitely check out his Instagram to see him at the event. He's very, very excited still.
He should. And he should be because it's a, you know, I think it's an honor for him to do that.
Exactly.
So I'm really proud of him that he got that gig.
Yeah. And it's a great cause. So definitely check out his page to see him at the event.
Yeah. And people who have tickets, I know a lot of people are asking for refunds. I know they're getting, you know, there's trouble getting refunds. But, you know, if you don't get a refund, if you have to go, it's a night in Atlantic City. I love Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Go and have a good time.
Exactly.
Let's get into this week's Teen Mom Top 3. The three biggest stories of the week after Farrah, of course, because I think that was the biggest one.
Yes.
Macy, book out. This story, Lauren and I didn't notice until days later, which is so silly because I feel like her and I do a really good job of noticing little things, especially Photoshop. So as everyone saw, she posted a photo with her family on Halloween. They were the cast of Scooby-Doo.
It was so cute.
Bentley's arm was clearly photoshopped to make her stomach look smaller.
Yeah.
So everyone is thinking that she's hiding a bump and that baby number 4 is on board.
Yeah. I think we missed it because Jade looked absolutely adorable in her costume.
Exactly. We missed it because it was so cute that we didn't know where to look.
Yeah, the wig, the glasses. Also, Maverick, he was the cutest little Scooby-Doo. And Taylor was looking fine as always.
He was looking cute because he's the best on Halloween always. Remember, he was Ken last year.
I know. He's always so hot on Halloween. And I'm like,
he is.
Damn. Like, Macy. But yeah, so we completely missed it. I think it was like the next day. We were just like, wait a sec. Fans kept talking about Bentley's arm. I took a look and I said, oh my God, I cannot wait to go to work and show Teresa what we missed. So yeah, so a lot of people were saying she is pregnant. However, after I think it was this week's episode, fans were saying, you know, Macy's not 18 years old anymore. Her metabolism isn't super fast. Perhaps maybe she's just enjoying life.
I think her metabolism could have slowed down. I mean, I used to be a stick and now I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's understandable. I don't think she's pregnant only because there have been so many photos where she looked like she had a bump, like a big bump.
Yeah.
And we thought she was pregnant and she never was. So I don't know. I think she's just gaining weight because she's getting older.
Yeah. And she's enjoying life. She has three kids, especially Bentley. He has soccer and basketball and baseball. So she's running around like crazy. And yeah, so we're the same age as her. We understand. Of course, people are like, oh my God, look at the bump. I don't think she's pregnant. However, I hope she's pregnant.
I hope she's pregnant too.
I love little McKinneys. So another one will just bring so much joy to our life. And yeah, so fingers crossed that in the near future, we will be announcing pregnancy news for her. So getting into the second biggest story of the week. On this week's episode, we saw Bristol open up about her stalker that she has had for about 10 years now. Terrifying. I remember the story over the years. So,
do you?
Yes, I do remember it. Teresa, do you have any updates on what's going on?
Yes, on the episode, he was still on the run. Radar exclusively gave an update on him to see, you know, if he's still on the run, what's going on. We found out that he was arrested on September 21st, 2018, which was a few weeks after the initial break-in in Dakota Myers' Kentucky home. He is currently in custody. He wasn't charged in the burglary, but he was charged for making very scary threats to public figures.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't look like he's going to get out of jail anytime soon. So right now, Bristol can breathe easy.
Now, a lot of fans were actually slamming Bristol for many reasons. I saw it in Facebook groups and Twitter and such. So a lot of fans were saying, you are so worried about your children, and this has been a threat for 10 years. Is it the brightest idea to go on reality TV show on MTV, which has millions of viewers, and say, I'm now in a home alone. My family's 4,000 miles away.
Yep.
My personal opinion, she was kind of promoting herself to put herself in a really bad, like, position.
If you go on her Instagram, she does have photos of the front of her house, her new house. I was able to obtain her address. We did a story on, you know, her new home. So it's all public information. Yeah. I don't think someone would know to look for that unless she had said, hey, I moved. So you have a good point, Lauren. I actually didn't think about that. You know, I think that when you have a stalker for 10 years, you should be more private.
Yeah.
I don't think that she should let it stop her from living her life. If she wants to go on reality TV, go on reality TV. You know, don't let this stop you from having opportunity. But at the same time, maybe don't say, I'm in a house all by myself.
Yeah, with three small kids and no family or friends.
Yeah, maybe don't post photos in the front of your house. Maybe just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Like, I moved out and that's it. It can be an Airbnb. It can be a hotel. We don't know.
Exactly. There was no need to promote her moving. And I felt like it was really unsafe. And I think even MTV should have thought that. You know, why are we putting these girls in danger like this? We don't really need to show the outside of their houses because it's just Teen Mom fans, they are dedicated and they love their reality stars.
Chelsea Houska says it all the time.
Yeah.
She was like, if you're a fan, please don't come to my house. Like, it's scary.
And she has had fans come up to her door and knock on it, and she has opened it. So, you know, they need to stay safe, but a lot of fans were slamming Bristol saying it's not the best idea. However, we hope for the best for Bristol.
We do. We hope she stays safe. He's behind bars.
Yes.
Hopefully he'll be behind bars for a very long time and she won't have to worry.
Agreed.
Let's go into the third topic of the week. Amber Portwood has threatened to quit Teen Mom OG once again.
Once again.
Once again. Amber, stop biting the hand that feeds you.
Please.
It literally feeds you.
Literally. I mean, she doesn't have her businesses anymore. So, you know, this is her job. Now, when she was tweeting, Teresa and I were texting because, you know, we talk about Teen Mom off work hours. And I don't know, we kind of weren't really shocked. And we were just kind of like, okay, she's threatening to quit. I didn't, and I still don't believe it. I think, you know, she has this great, great platform. And I think she just needs to keep on fighting with MTV and the producers. She's the star of this franchise. She is the definition of teen mom. So I think if she just keeps on fighting, her storyline will get better. And I think it has over the years. I think, you know, the focus on her new family, I think her story, you know, has gotten a lot better.
I agree. And I know that you spoke to Andrew Glennon. Did he kind of give you some type of insight as to what's going on with her?
Yeah. Every single time I talk to Andrew, I adore him. I think he's the sweetest guy. He's so great to Amber. And he really, you know, stands by her side. So I asked him what's going on. And he said MTV silences her voice, oppresses her story, and manipulates footage to constantly cast her in a bad light. All this while struggling with postpartum depression. It's unreal. There are bigger and better things for her on the horizon. Stay tuned.
What could be the bigger and better things on the horizon?
I kind of hope a YouTube channel.
That's bigger and better than Teen Mom OG. Okay.
I know, but maybe another book. I mean, she does have her books, so she has that income.
I don't think any of these things are better than Teen Mom OG.
I know, but I think if she does a YouTube channel, she could edit it herself. She, you know, has control over the filming, so her storyline would be better if she edits it herself.
I have to say something. Farrah Abraham quit Teen Mom OG. Farrah Abraham is a hustler. She goes to events every night. She constantly has a new product. She constantly has a new thing that she's working on. She could live without Teen Mom OG. I don't think Amber Portwood could live without Teen Mom OG. I think it would last. I think she can write a book, have a YouTube channel. I don't think that she will ever be able to get the same income as Teen Mom OG. I think Farrah can. I don't think Amber could. And I think that she should talk to the producers off social media if she has an issue. That's just my opinion.
I totally agree. Amber is definitely, she's famous, but she's not a star. You know, Farrah goes to all these random events. She has like random sex toy lines and all this stuff. Amber is more just in her teen mom role. Farrah is known for so much more. It's just like Chelsea. If Chelsea left Teen Mom 2, she wouldn't really be anything. She would just be home with her family.
Exactly.
So I think Amber definitely needs to have a conversation with producers and say, I deserve a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I am the star of this. I was the pilot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I should have a say in editing, just like the Kardashians do.
Oh, yeah.
Kardashians. They could be producers.
Definitely. I completely agree.
So that's our advice for Amber.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that it's hard for us to really talk about this. I think it's better for us to talk to someone who knows Amber a little better than we do.
Yes.
So back by popular demand, everyone, we have the one and only
dum-da-da-dum,
Matthew Beyer.
Woohoo!
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How's our favorite guest?
I'm good, thanks.
I was telling Matt yesterday that we got amazing feedback and everyone wanted him back on the show.
Yes, all the like Teen Mom Facebook groups that we are in and Twitter and everyone was loving you. Teresa and I couldn't get over the comments. We're like, Matt's been our best guest yet.
Well, I guess all I had to do is leave the show to have people like me, huh?
People liked you on the show. Come on. Teresa and I did.
All three of them. Yeah, that's great.
Me, Teresa, and you.
And Gina.
And Gina. Yep. So four.
That was it. Four people. All right. It's even better.
See? Your fan base is growing by the day.
Exponentially. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get right into the episode. Obviously, we want to start off with Amber Portwood and her crazy rant that happened afterwards. But before we do that, let's talk about the actual scenes. What did you think when you were watching her talk about the miscarriage?
It brought back a lot of tough memories, that's for sure. This is something I never thought would be made public. So I was taken back by it a little bit, for sure. Yeah, it just a bunch of stuff about the event came rushing back. And, you know, having to go through something like that is tough enough. Having to relive it unexpectedly like that is, it was difficult.
You would have probably liked a little heads up, right, that she was going to discuss it on the show?
Well, no, I mean, would I have liked it? Sure, but that's not her responsibility to do that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure when she's caught up in the moment, her first thought isn't going to be, well, I better let Matt know we're going to talk about this. She doesn't have the responsibility to do that. Then that wouldn't be fair for me to expect her to do that. I mean, those conversations happen unexpectedly and quickly, and it's I should have been the last thing on her mind when she decided to discuss that. And it's not easy for her, I'm sure, to have to relive it either, especially publicly. So she has enough to worry about on her own. Never mind worrying about my feelings. So I'm good with that.
So on the episode, they brought up the Las Vegas scene where you punched a wall. And obviously when that scene went down, everyone thought that you were just a drunken asshole who was aggressive when he drinks,
right.
who gets aggressive when he drinks. So could you tell us a little bit about how you feel now that the scene was kind of cleared up and that people can see that you were really going through something hard at that time?
Well, you know, I've actually been asked about that in the last day or so. Somebody specifically said to me, I remember how much crap you took for that. Do you feel vindicated? Well, no, I still acted like a jerk. You know, what happened and the way my reaction wasn't going to change anything. So, sorry, this barking dog, so I apologize.
Aww.
I didn't react like a mature adult. I reacted like an immature person. So it doesn't change the fact of what I did. I do remember, however, in no way to try to make this about me, because it's not. But I do remember the first reunion show that I did. That was a big topic of conversation of, well, you know, Amber, he did punch a wall. Does this give you fear for the future and so on and so forth? I do remember thinking, well, there's so much more to the story than that. But I was never, ever going to violate her trust and say, hey, listen, stop picking on me. This is why I did it.
Oh, wow.
Because I still did it. I mean, you know, I still, and if you look back on it now, me breaking my hand didn't change anything. It just made me break my hand. And, you know, as you guys may or may not know, I'm not a drinker. I never have been. So that was, but people didn't know that at the time. So just the drinking itself was so amazingly out of character for me. But people didn't know that at the time. They just assumed that I'm a drinker like a lot of people are, and I'm not. I never drank. So, and Amber could testify to that. I don't even like to drink.
Yeah.
So it was difficult. But in retrospect, it doesn't change the fact that I got way drunker than anybody ever should and tried to put my fist through the 56th floor of the Vidara, which was not intelligent, and then broke my hand. It's, you know, doesn't change anything. So, no, I don't feel any vindication. I don't feel anything. But I think it points out that there's a lot of things in all of our lives that people assume one thing because they see it on TV and don't know the backstory to things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would have come out and said, well, hold on, you need to understand why I did this. Well, I was never going to do that. If me taking crap for as long as I did about an event like that protected Amber's privacy, it was a small price to pay. So,
yeah. Now, after you saw the episode and heard what she said, did you want to reach out to her and discuss it?
You know what? It's really interesting. I had a long text written out to her and I didn't send it. And it was a long thought out text that I was just about to send to her. And then I just stopped myself and I said, you know, she doesn't need this right now. She's got her own life. She doesn't need to. She's already probably having to relive this, you know, through social media and so on and so forth. She doesn't need me piling on in any way. And the text was simply a, you know, this was difficult to watch. And, you know, I hope you're well. Hope you guys are doing good. And so glad that, you know, things are working out with you and Andrew and the new baby, but she doesn't need to hear from me. And which that actually kind of made me sad because, again, when Amber and I, and most people don't even acknowledge this, but Amber and I were friends, the best of friends before we ever got together. We would communicate 10 times a day, minimum. And now I'm at the point where I'm not even comfortable sending her that text, a supportive text, because it may not mean anything to her.
Yeah, and it's so sad, and it's hard, you know, when you split from someone. You want to stay friends, but at the end, you know, it's hard to do that. So you not only lost the fiance, but you lost the best friend. So that's hard.
Yeah, but I did have a really long message type, a message of support typed out, because I know that can't be easy for anybody to have to relive. And I know how, I'm sure she got a lot of support, but I'm sure she got a lot of crap too from people, because there's some awful people in the world. And I just wanted to know that, you know, I while I didn't experience it the way she did, I was there. And, you know, if she ever needed to talk about it, you know, I of course would answer the phone, but I didn't send it. I backed out at the last second.
So speaking of crap that people may have said to her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you saw the rant that she went on after she watched the episode on Twitter. She basically threatened to quit the show. She then said on Tuesday night, it was something along the lines of, you people, what was it, Lauren? Do you remember?
It was something about people stabbing her in the back and the editing and how the bullies are just so mean. And it's the reason, as horrible, like to say, you know, this is why people commit suicide, because of the horrific bullies on social media.
So it seems like she got a lot of bad feedback. Well, what do you think of all of those tweets?
I've been saying that for years. I mean, and I've actually said this to Amber, and, you know, when we were together, that I would look at my social media and say, now I understand why people commit suicide. Now, mind you, that's not something that ever entered my mind over people's comments, but I understand. I have empathy for people who are bullied online. I mean, I'm not saying I'm in any way, shape, or form better equipped to deal with it. I just was so focused on my relationship with Amber and the life we were living that I just stopped looking. And unfortunately, to this day, I couldn't log on to my social media. I mean, it's all, people are awful. And so I don't blame her for having that reaction. I think that in Amber's case, she's used to so much love and so much support. And then when people turn on her, it's difficult for her. Yeah. I think that's difficult for anybody to take. Me, I'm used to it. I don't think she's as used to it now. I mean, she used to say to me all the time that she, you know, she just thanks God that social media really wasn't a thing when she first started on the show and had all the troubles that she had.
Yeah,
she didn't know
true.
How she'd be able to handle it. So when she got on social media, she was a completely different person. She was, you know, she was not the Amber of years before. So the love and support that she gets, which is well-deserved, I mean, extraordinarily well-deserved.
Agreed.
That's what she's used to. So if people then become nasty, and I don't know what comments she's referring to, but if they made nasty comments about her having a miscarriage, then those people are just horrible beyond words.
I actually Did you see any negative comments?
I didn't either, and we were kind of confused about what scene she was talking about, because I thought they handled everything okay in that episode.
Yeah, what do you think?
I mean,
set her off?
You also don't know what else happened.
Yeah,
you also don't know what else happened that didn't make it onto the screen. And I obviously don't either.
Interesting.
So maybe there's things that she expected to see that they didn't show.
Yeah,
and that can be frustrating. You know, when you're expecting it to be portrayed one way, and it's portrayed a different way.
Now, a lot of people were saying that Amber was in the wrong about bringing up her miscarriage when Christina was telling her story.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
Yeah, and everyone was just saying, oh, Amber steals the spotlight and, you know, she tried to make it all about her. I disagree. I think Amber just wanted to share her story to let Christina, who's a great friend now to her and, you know, they're family forever, just to say, you know what, I know what you're going through. As a woman,
we could
discuss this. I don't think she was trying to steal a spotlight. That's not something, you know, it was just so mean. So maybe that was it.
I can tell you 100% that, and I say this as firmly as I possibly can, Amber Portwood does not care about stealing anybody's spotlight.
Yeah,
agreed. If she said something to her, she said it for all the right reasons. You know, I'm sure she just wanted Christina to know that, hey, you're not alone.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're feeling right now. And that to me is the sign of a good person. And I think the people that wrote those comments need to check themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has an agenda. Not everybody has an ulterior motive. So shame on, to me, I say shame on those people.
I agree.
Amber lives to help people. And for somebody who's been through all that she's been through, I don't think anybody would blame her if she would just focus on herself, but she focuses less on herself and more than on other people than anybody I've ever met.
Yeah,
so,
agreed.
You know, I can tell you times that when, I'm sorry, but I can tell you times, even when Amber and Christina were not the best of friends back in the day, and I'm not going to obviously bring up the incident, but there was a difficult time that Christina and Gary were going through. And Amber and I were there for Christina every single day. And Amber made a point to go out of her way to say, hey, listen, I know we've had history, but I am here for you. That's the type of person that Amber Portwood is.
Yeah.
So to all those people, I say shame on you.
So, Matt, as we saw Amber threaten to quit the show, do you think she's going to quit? I mean, you know her. You've known her for so long.
You know her better than us.
Do I think she's going to quit? This is 100% strictly my opinion. No.
Okay.
I think that, and I'll tell you why. If you have to put yourself in the situation where when something's happened, we're all human. We have an immediate human reaction to things. And I think that without knowing the facts, I think that may be the situation. And we've all had them. I can't tell you how many times the show would air, or we'd get the preview copy of the next week's show, and I would say to Amber, I'm never filming again.
Yeah.
But that's just a human reaction. Amber, I think the way she does it is when she, and I'm going to use the word lashes out, but I don't mean it in a negative way, but when she, let's say, fence, she does it through social media.
Right.
And because that's where her fans and supporters are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
and haters.
Do I think she's going to quit? Yeah, exactly. Do I think she's going to quit? No. And she'd never ask my advice, but if I was going to give her advice, I'd say, don't ever quit that show. It's your show.
It is her show.
You were the pilot for this.
Yeah.
You and Macy were the pilots for this show. This show it has no legacy without you.
It's true.
And you need to be proud. And for all she's been through, I mean, for God's sakes, the woman's been to prison. She has thick skin.
Yeah.
You know, does it become overwhelming sometimes? Yeah, it does. It comes to the point where you don't want to get out of bed because the whole world's turned on you over something they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I hope she doesn't quit.
I hope she doesn't either.
She's earned the right. She's earned the right to tell her story and finish her story on her terms. You know,
agreed.
So
I think MTV really needs a reality check because it is her show. She's the star of Teen Mom. Whenever someone talks about the franchise, it's Amber. You know, everything that we've been through with her. So I think, you know, MTV really needs to wake up and say, we need to give her moment.
Even when the show started filming again, remember it went on the hiatus for a few years and wasn't Amber in prison the first few episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The show didn't feel complete.
It didn't.
Until she came back on.
What I would say about Amber in the show is, while there may be more popular people on the show, there are not more important or relevant people on the show than Amber Portwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like her story has changed so much, like prison and custody and drug battles and mental health awareness. Like, she has so much to her story.
Don't forget Bad Fiancés. Bad Fiancés. Don't forget that.
No. What Bad Fiancé does she have? We have no idea.
No, listen. The bottom line is, her story, in my opinion, touches more people because of the varying storylines, varying issues that she's had through the years. Amber doesn't relate to a certain segment of the audience. Amber relates to the entire audience in one way or the other, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's depression, whether it's, you know, being a young mother, whether it's miscarriage, no matter what it is, redemption, it's a million different things.
Exactly.
It's going to touch somebody. Whereas not all, in my opinion, not all the stories do that. There's no more important person on that show than Amber Portwood.
Agreed. She is the queen. And as much as we would love to continue talking about her, because she's our girl here, let's get into Kate and Tyler's segment about them celebrating their first daughter, Carly, whom they placed for adoption back on 16 and pregnant. Yeah. What do you think about them still celebrating Carly's birthday like that?
I think it's great. They love that little girl.
Yeah.
You know, they, you know, I remember being with them, and anytime Kate and Ty would talk about Carly, they would just be so happy, happy and sad. But, you know, they love her. And while maybe legally it's not their daughter anymore, it's still their daughter.
Exactly.
That just doesn't go away. So I think they want to celebrate it. I think they should celebrate it as powerfully as they can. Good for them.
So, Matt, also on the episode, Kaylin had asked Teresa if they can have their yearly visit with Carly. Teresa had said no because Carly's going through a lot right now. You know, she's struggling, trying to find who she is because her story is so different than her friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kaylin had asked, you know, what's wrong with her? And Teresa didn't want to tell her. What do you think about that? About Teresa kind of, you know, shutting down Kate and Tyler from seeing Carly this year and from also, you know, sharing what's going on with her. Do you think that Kaylin and Tyler have a right to know?
I think that's a really tough question because I'm not in the situation. No, I know Kate and Ty and I've met Teresa, and but I can't relate to that situation personally, so all I can do is give you my opinion as an outsider. And what that opinion is unfortunately, Teresa has the right to do that, and it sucks. Yeah. And I hate even saying that, but she has the right to do that. And while it may not be a popular decision, may not be a popular opinion that I have, do I think it's right? No. And I feel awful for Kate and Ty for this, but that's her right to do. And she, you know, she's exercising her right as Carly's mother. And so while my heart breaks for them, I think deep down they probably understand. I mean, I don't know. I'm not involved in the situation. I'm, simply from a viewership standpoint, it's the only way I could think about it. She has the right to do what she did. Although I don't think anybody has to like it.
Yeah, it was really sad to hear and to see them go through that. I agree with both sides. I think Teresa does have the right to say, no, it's really none of your business. But I think when they chose an open adoption, you know, you're supposed to have these doors open to still being a little, you know, aware and I guess updated.
And that's what sucks, because I remember a few seasons ago when they were having this issue where they couldn't get the yearly visit. Don had showed them in the contract that it said at any time the adoptive parents can decline, you know, can close this and can decline visits. And Tyler was like, this sucks. I was only 16 years old when I made this decision. Like, I didn't know. And it's just so sad. And I feel like, you know, Teresa and Brandon, like, didn't really know what they were getting into either. Then when they saw kind of how the show exploded and how big it got, they were like, wait, we don't want this, you know? So it's hard on both ends.
Let me throw out an alternate theory here.
Yeah.
Let me throw out a quick alternate theory without having any thoughts. Maybe she didn't want to tell her knowing it was being recorded. Maybe she didn't want Carly's, you know, problems broadcast to the entire world.
Agreed.
I mean, the benefit of the doubt side of me says that maybe that has something to do with it. I have no evidence to the contrary. I'm just guessing. When you're talking about a child and their personal issues they're going through, maybe as a parent, they don't want the world judging those issues, no matter what they are.
No, that's a great point. And that's been an issue on the show.
I'd like to think that's the reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Teresa at one point said that. I totally agree with you.
You can't blame her for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough enough for an adult to have their issues broadcast to the world. You know, she's old enough now to be teased in school about stuff.
Yeah.
So I can't blame a parent for protecting their child's feelings. But, of course, you know, because I love Kate and Ty so much, it breaks my heart that they're going through this. And Tyler makes a good point. He was only 16 years old when he made this decision. On the other hand, the decision was made.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a really tough situation. Really tough.
I know. It breaks our heart.
So last topic we're going to get into for the recap of this week's episode is Ryan Edwards. Mackenzie revealed that he did go into rehab. As our listeners know, Radar broke this in early October that he was going into treatment. It's a 90-day treatment. What do you think about this, Matt? Do you think that, you know, you've struggled
with... I think he needed to go to rehab.
Yeah, good. Because you've struggled with substance abuse issues, so I'm sure you know exactly where Ryan is coming from. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, Ryan, of all the things that people say about people on the show, one of the things that gets under my skin the most is when they equate Ryan Edwards with being a bad person because he's a drug addict.
Yeah, and Jen had, brought that up too.
Because there is not a better guy, in my opinion, in the world sober than Ryan Edwards. And I've stated this before. Ryan has a disease. He shouldn't be forced to endure the hatred and the angry comments and Ryan's weak and Ryan's, you know, it's so unfair because I would put Ryan Edwards as a person up against most people, you know, straight up. Ryan is just a flat out a good dude. Has he made mistakes? Yep. He has. And he'll be the first to admit that.
Yeah.
Does he struggle with addiction? Yep. If Ryan is willing to go to rehab to try to get healthy for himself, his wife, his baby, for Bentley, and in a way for Macy and Taylor and their relationship, then bravo, Ryan. Good for you. And if it doesn't work, go back again. Keep doing it until keep doing something until you find what works. Because I think once he is clean and sober completely, you guys are going to be really impressed with that guy because he's as solid as they come. And it's funny because I've made these comments before and people have said, well, where do you get this from? I've spent time with him.
Yeah.
I understand. He's intelligent. He's caring. He's funny. And he also has this brilliant, I don't give a shit attitude, which I kind of respect. Ryan doesn't like to get in other people's stuff. He's just a good, solid person. And I would love the world to be able to see the guy that I've spent time with. And, you know, and I'd love to see him overcome this because if he can overcome this, he can help a lot of people, just like Amber did.
I feel like
you know, he's got a tough issue.
Yeah. And I feel like it's hard for viewers to see that side of Ryan because do you feel like maybe when he's in front of the camera, he kind of shuts down? Because I feel like we never see that side. We never see him joking. We never see him
laughing,
you know, being intelligent.
I'll tell you a great Ryan Edwards story.
Yeah, tell us. We want to know. Yeah.
All right. So you guys all remember the unfortunate reunion show where we kind of had that physical altercation on stage. I'm sure you guys all remember that with
Wait, could you tell us when? Well, of course. Well, how could we forget that episode?
So we go backstage. Ryan doesn't get involved in anything. So this stuff was building backstage and whatnot. Ryan was just sitting there very quietly, not getting involved in any of the conversation. But as you can imagine, while they were on stage and saying certain things and the conversation in the green room, so to speak, everybody was talking at once and people were getting all fired up. Ryan didn't say a word. After the incident, once security let me go, I see Ryan kind of part the crowd and walk up to me. And he just stands next to me and he goes, dude, that was awesome. And he just walked away. He never said another word about it. I just burst out laughing. I'm like, that's Ryan.
Yeah.
He didn't say a word all day long. And just, dude, that was awesome.
See, I feel like that's the Ryan we want to see.
Yeah.
We want to see. He probably is like the quietest guy, but then he'll have these one-liners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's like. When he says something, the room kind of just stops and like just bursts into laughter because he's just flat out funny.
Yeah,
he's just a funny dude. So, yeah, I love that kid, and I really hope that he gets his stuff worked out. And I believe he will. I really do. I mean, he's got a good support system.
He does.
And
yeah.
I think once he's a great support system. His parents are fantastic people. So, you know, his dad is one of the most fun people I've ever been around.
Yeah.
We talked to Larry.
Larry. Yeah.
He's funny.
Love Larry.
Larry's a great guy.
He is.
You know, when we did a rap party in L.A. on a one year up on a hotel that had one of those you know, rooftop pools. And I'll tell you what, Larry Edwards was the first one in the pool, and just the most fun, guy there. And but they really love their son, and they're going to support Ryan, and they're going to be there for him. And I think that's great. So when Ryan does get healthy, I think it's going to be amazing, the relationship that he has, not only with his parents and with Bentley, but of course with Mason Taylor as well.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm not in the situation, but from what I've seen, a lot of Ryan's decisions he makes are chemically aided. And I think once that stops, you guys are going to see the real dude, and you're going to be really impressed with him.
Now, speaking of Macy, so in the scene when they were sitting with Mackenzie talking about Ryan, they made it seem like Jen, Larry, Mackenzie made it seem as if they were going to tell Bentley before Macy was aware. Because they were saying, you know, we haven't talked to Macy about it yet. She probably doesn't know if she has not heard. Do you think it was right for them to suggest the idea of telling Bentley that his dad was in rehab without talking to Macy first?
Strictly my opinion, and what they do is completely their business. My opinion would be no.
I agree.
You know, you'd have to talk to Macy first.
Yep.
Macy's, I think, earned that right. And I don't know what kind of tension there is between all of these guys right now. And obviously, I don't have any inside information, but I would tell you that Macy deserves that respect to say, hey, listen, we need to talk to Bentley about this. But, you know, and what I know about Macy and the times I've spent with her, I think that Macy, of all people, is the one that makes the best decisions based on the well-being of her child. And what I mean is every decision she makes is how it's going to affect my children. Not that the other parents don't do that, but Macy is very vocal about that. And so I think that, if I was in that situation, I would say, yeah, you got to talk. I can only equate it with, you know, when I was with Amber, if this is all completely hypothetical, because it's never happened, but if Jerry and Christina were going to talk to Leah about something very important, obviously, I would expect them to go through Amber first,
Agreed.
Which they always would. But you see my point?
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's just Macy's mom, and she's earned the right to be mom. So,
exactly. I feel as if Jen and Larry want Macy involved. They adore Macy, and they always have. I personally think, this is my opinion, I think Mackenzie kind of likes to stir the pot.
I think she does. I think she put a little wedge between them.
Exactly. She did, because I think she's just so jealous of Macy. That's just my thought. But I feel like she is the one to stir the pot.
I've never met Mackenzie. I've never met her. I've never had any communication with her. The only thing I kind of had, not even interaction, but anything that involved me with her was when we did Marriage Boot Camp and those shows were airing, you know, Mackenzie would tweet certain things about Amber and I and about the show, but I don't know her, so I can't give a, not necessarily anything negative.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what I'm saying, but she was active on social media when we were on that show. And so all I know of Mackenzie, and this is nothing against her, is that she's Ryan's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met her, so I can't give an opinion on her. If, you know, if she ever did something to me personally, I could have an opinion, but I don't. I just don't know the woman. So if she stirs the pot, I have to take your word for it, because I haven't, you know me, I don't comment on stuff I haven't personally experienced.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not a pot stirrer. So I personally don't know anything about her, except that she's Ryan's wife. And if she's, you know, if Ryan loves her, that's good enough for me. So.
Agreed.
So, Matt, tell our listeners how you're doing, because everyone misses you. You're not very active on social media. So it's
disappointing.
Hard to, it's hard to figure out what's going on. So tell us how you're doing.
I can't go on social media. I'd cry myself to sleep.
Now you can. You have a fan base now.
Teresa and I will write nice comments.
Oh, great. I'll try to dig through the other stuff and pull those out.
We'll just copy and paste it 100 times.
I think at this point, when it comes to social media, I think that people are just, they're almost programmed to bash me, and that's okay. You know, if that makes their day better, it doesn't hurt my feelings, you know. But, like, the last time, I don't even remember the last time I was on social media, but I think I posted something political, and oh boy, did I get bashed for that. It wasn't even anything bad. Who cares? It doesn't really bother me. Like I say, if people going on the internet saying, Matt, you're a piece of crap, really makes their day genuinely better, then I'm glad I could touch their lives in a positive way. That's all I can say.
That is very true.
It doesn't affect me.
I mean, that's good that, you know, it doesn't.
What do I care?
No, it is very true. You have to stay strong. But I think your fans would like to see you on social media. I'm just saying.
Try it out. I mean, we're making a better fan base for you. We're like your PR reps.
Yes,
like, we're
exactly.
Isn't that ironic that you were the guys that started all this? You guys are building me back up.
Someone has
a guilty conscience.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
We have a guilty conscience.
I believe the first person to write a "Matt is a piece of crap for punching a wall" story was somebody named Gina, who works at Radar.
You know, Matt.
I will say this. You know, I've never held that stuff personally against you guys, because there were things that I could have defended myself a long time ago. And believe me, not everything is defendable that I've done in my past. I'll be the first to admit that. But I get asked a lot, why did you never come out and say anything about it? Because I'll tell you why, because it was never about me. Despite what people want to think, this experience was never about me. It was about Amber's story. And even if the smallest, silliest little article took 2 seconds away from the message she was trying to get out, then it was unacceptable to me. If I responded to something, that became a story. And that's one less positive story they're writing about Amber.
Wow,
so
yeah.
It was, to me, it didn't matter. Was it difficult at first? Yeah, because I'd never experienced it. Now, it's still to this day. If somebody writes something about me, I think, you know, they could really be writing about, you know, Amber and Andrew and baby James and Leah and Gary and Chris. You know what I mean? There's so many more important things to talk about than me. And I've always felt that way from day one. I think because so many things were written that people naturally assumed that, oh, he's trying to make this all about him. A great example is, after I did the podcast last time, somebody wrote Matt attempting to stay relevant by talking to Radar Online. Well,
rude.
I actually wrote this person an email. I never do this, but I wrote this person an email and said, I'm just curious. What is it about somebody asking me to do a podcast is me attempting to stay relevant? I wasn't relevant before this. Amber was relevant. Leah was relevant. Taylor McKinney put it best one day when we were on the reunion show together and they were just talking to the guys. Taylor, and I'll never forget it, he said to Dr. Drew, he said, listen, this isn't about us. We are window dressing. And I never forgot that. That's exactly what we were. I wasn't the one that wanted to be thrust into the spotlight. I never wanted to be negatively or positively anything but the guy holding Amber's purse. And I was comfortable with that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out like that for any of us. So I just want nothing but good things for people.
Yeah.
I want nothing but positivity. But like I said, if it makes people happy to say, Matt, you're this, or Matt, you're a piece of crap, or Matt, you've got 150 kids, okay. Doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, I still get up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I'm doing all right. So, you know, my first thought isn't, why doesn't everybody love me?
Yeah.
It'd be great if everybody did, but it doesn't affect my life either way. I've had experiences where I've run into people in person who were horrible to me on social media, and then they kind of forget it, and then they come up and say, hey, can I take a picture with you? And my first reaction wants to be, can we talk about why you called me a scumbag on the internet first?
Yeah.
But then I just forget it. Say, sure, I'll take a picture with you. I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings, is what I'm saying. When people write things, it's, you know, I think the people that care about me, you know, my friends and family got more offended about it than I did. But if I said to you, never bothered me, I'd be a liar. because for the first year and a half, I was tortured by it, but I'd never experienced it before. And I have to, not to overly praise Amber, but I have to say that she's the one who taught me just to not care.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't affect, you have to worry about what the people closest to you think. And that's what I would tell anybody who's in this situation. Real quick, ironically, somebody said to me, asked me yesterday, said, you know, I would love to be on reality TV. And I kind of raised my eyebrows. I said, really?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that must be, it must be so cool to get recognized everywhere you go. And I said, I looked at the person, I said, here's my advice. If you want to be on reality TV, do it to help people. Do it to spread a positive message and do it with a good heart. Don't do it for fame.
Yeah.
Because there's a very fine line between fame and infamy. And you don't want to cross that very thin line, because there's I'm still the guy that punched the wall in Las Vegas a number of years ago. You know, people don't live forever, but words on the internet do. So if it's something you just can't shake. So whether or not the reasons behind some of the things that get done are irrelevant, the stories, whether they're true or not, last forever. And you don't want to become a 24-hour defendant of yourself. You know, trying to spend your day explaining away your past to people is a horribly exhausting way to live. So I say to people, if you're going to do this, you really want to do this, do it for the right reasons and be a really good person. But also expect your past, whether it's true, untrue, or exaggerated, that past is going to come crushing your face within about 2 weeks of you airing.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared for that. And it's not for everybody. So that's my monologue.
Well, Matt, we think you're a great guy, and you are loved here, despite our past.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, we think you're great.
Despite our tumultuous past. Yeah, I appreciate it.
We had a rocky start to our friendship with you, but we adore you here now. And it makes you who you are.
You know me. I'll do this anytime you need me to do it. Just give me a call.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was so great having you again. I'm sure we'll get just as much amazing feedback.
Yes, and we will definitely let you know the good feedback so you know you have more than 4 fans.
Yes.
I appreciate it. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Have a good
Matt,
day.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Warren, that was another great interview with Matt Beyer.
Yes, we love Matt here. He is funny. And also, I love how he recognizes his past.
You know what else I like about Matt? I love how he doesn't, like, everything's over. He has nothing to lose.
He
doesn't, like, spill secrets. He doesn't bash anyone. He just says it how it is. Yeah. That's what I like about him.
And I really respect his loyalty.
Yeah.
To Amber. Mm-hmm. I think that's so mature of him. I think overall, he's a great guy. We adore him here, and we love having him on the podcast.
We do. On this week's Teen Mom Tease, we watched Caitlin and Tyler buy their dream octagon house in Michigan, which is oddly shaped like an octagon.
Yeah, it is gorgeous, though.
No, it's nice. But it's not the dream home they think it is. Check out RadarOnline.com and OKMagazine.com to go inside their house of horrors.
Well, everyone, that is all we have for this week. Thank you again for tuning in, and make sure you check back with us next week for even more Teen Mom drama.
Bye! Bye.